This is the strategic planning and scoping meeting for March 8th. It's 9 o'clock. It's the Resources Building Conference Room, 12th floor conference room. It's ready. We're live.
We used to do it 5 pages in the Christmas of that question.
Right. They all work with a trainer over there who does all their vitamins and everything. Yeah.
Are you all ready?
Sorry.
So did you walk down to see where the house is that I go to the down there?
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fish and Game Commission and the Department of Fish and Game Strategic Planning and Scoping Meeting. I'd like to welcome everyone. Introductions, or for the record, I'll make some introductions. Sitting next to me, from Carpinteria, Commissioner Richard Rogers. From
Tahoe City,
Cindy Gustafson, excuse me,
okay.
Commissioner, and Commissioner James Kellogg from, don't tell me, because Concord. Sorry, Jim. And I think Commissioner Toy will be joining us soon from Los Angeles. Also with us is Ryan Broderick, Director of Department of Fish and Game. Along with him is Sonke Mastreff, Deputy Director. Also with us today is John Carlson, the Commission's Executive Director, John Fisher, Assistant Executive. I always mess that one up. I always want to promote him, and he doesn't want to take the promotion. So, Adriana Shea, who is the I know AGPA, but I always call him Analyst Extraordinaire. So welcome, Adriana. And a whole host of folks in the audience, and we'll give them an opportunity later on during public forum to speak and introduce themselves. Now joining us is Commissioner Hatoy.
Hi, everyone.
So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Carlson.
I'd like to make a couple of housekeeping announcements to everyone here. Bathrooms are down the hall, past the elevators. That's probably the most important announcement of the day. And we will have public forum at the end of the session. So there are speaker cards if you are interested. We will set a small amount of time at the end of the session this morning before 12 o'clock noon to accept public comments on any of the agenda items. That will be at the end of the session. With that, I have some things to pass out.
Okay. I need to add one other person. Nancy Foley, Chief of Enforcement, is our Game Warden Extraordinaire today. Oh, Sherry Cole,
our retired
extraordinaire, and our retired lieutenant Bob Trainer. For the record, I'm Michael Flores. I know I didn't introduce myself. Okay.
On agenda item one, workload planning and prioritization, I have a copy of the 2006 rulemaking calendar that was turned into the Office of Administrative Law earlier this year. And that is an annual exercise as a planning guideline for rulemaking packages that will be brought forward. I'd like to use that kind of as a basis for our discussion. The number of rulemaking packages have been growing every year over the last several years, and the commission staff has not been growing. The commission authority has been growing without in-kind growth in staff or budget.
No problem. Cindy's going to lay into him today.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
From what I understand.
Sounds like, okay, well, we can cross that one
tomorrow.
Off.
Okay. Let me take care of
it. And earlier in the year, there had been some discussion between commissioners and the department about trying to have a meeting like this so that the department and the commission could kind of, as best possible, get on the same page for rulemaking packages for the upcoming year, workload prioritization, so that there's some predictability. You know, we all know we can't predict everything that's going to come in front of us, but there will be some predictability on where we can focus with limited resources. And I'm talking about limited resources in the commission staff and in the department both. So, you know, with that kind of introduction, I want to open it up. I know some commissioners have some thoughts they wanted to kick out. Michael, do you want to go first? Or do you want to? Nancy, can we keep that open? Is that okay, or is it going to be a disruption?
It's hard for the people that are working next door.
Yeah,
and people come to their desk. And
there's folks working next door?
Exactly.
Mike?
Angela knows me well. She'll get me later for that comment.
Well,
any commissioners want to make a comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, the only difficulty is we're just not seeing this. So it's really
actually, I'm sorry. This actually was passed out earlier in the year, but it is something that you get every year, and we haven't paid a lot of focus to it. So it is, you know, I can see this rulemaking calendar is a routine requirement of Office of Administrative Law. It is not binding. It is not. It's really to give them a gauge of what their pat. You know, they ask all commissions and boards that deal with them to do this every year.
So this gets submitted to OAL every year.
Yes.
What is the submission time requirement on this?
The beginning of the year. They usually
sometime
late January.
During January.
Right. Late in the calendar year, a memo was sent out to the department requesting that they start putting this together, and then they send a draft to the commission. And then the commission staff finalizes it, and it goes to OAL usually late January is my best recollection. Of
late January is right.
What do they do?
They use it to build kind of a plan on what kind of workload they're going to have for the year. And often this is fairly routine from the standpoint that every 3 years mammal regs are going to be on. Every couple of years fisheries package is going to be on. So those things go on here, but then if we have any idea of any other packages like MLPA or you know, ocean fishing or a listing package that's coming up for a potential endangered species, those get added to the best of our knowledge. But like I said, this is not binding. So if the commission or the department or the public brings something forward during the year, there's nothing to stop us from adding more workload.
I have a question because I just don't understand it. So if I'm sounding not informed, I'm not. this when we enact regulation, it goes to OAL. Okay, this is what's before OAL is what, or this is what OAL has sent back to the commission.
No, it's what we anticipate.
That they're going to come back with.
Actually,
come back to the department. I mean,
there are some items in here that are at OAL.
Okay, that's all I'm trying to figure out.
Right.
So like number one, which was surf perch, for example.
So we've done all these things.
No.
If you look at the two,
take action on them.
Some of them are before OAL. Some of them are in the pipeline.
See this?
Got it.
Sort of what we anticipate. So just.
Bob, that was put together in the fall. We started putting that together.
Okay.
To kind of project what we think is going to be before the commission.
Okay.
Some of this you've already taken action on, so they are now at OAL.
Got it.
And you can see on
the
very first page, it gives over on the right-hand side projected dates of the notice, the hearing, the adoption. And
got it. Okay, I see.
And then potentially when it would go to the Office of Administrative Law.
Go to the second page. Upper right-hand corner.
Got
see
it.
The OAL, 2-23-06.
Yep. Okay. No, I'm understanding it now. Thank you.
So this kind of gives a baseline of the workload. Talk to you about.
I was just going to add, it's really to help OAL plan their workload and on what we anticipate, recognizing that many more items show up on this through the year than actually.
I think I heard the estimate from my staff. This really only captures about 30% of our rulemaking load?
It's which
less
is significant.
Than
traditionally.
That's only 30% of your workload as it's been. So that's something we'll talk about later as we go on.
So a fair amount of unplanned.
So historically, it's been about 30%.
I think in the last few years.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd use the word historical, but recently.
Yeah. I'm still trying to understand.
How's the increase in history?
I'm still trying to understand.
Life is
so after OAL does what they do with it, what happens?
Law.
Yeah.
It's
okay. Nothing else has to happen after that.
No.
Thank you. That's the final action.
OAL reviews it to see that it meets requirements.
Right.
It goes to the Secretary of State for 30 days, I believe it is, and then it becomes law.
Okay. Thank you.
John, is it appropriate to flag also that many of these that you'll see on there that relate to Fish and Game Code statutes are the what I call the tear down from the commission's obligation to make an adoption of consistency with the federal regulation in many of the ocean arenas. So it's one of those circumstances where there is a schedule, we know if we're going to apply and be consistent with the federal regulations, which typically is an obligation on an annual basis and sometimes has become much more than annual when it comes to rockfish. Those are, you think, well, are they discretionary? Well, they are to the extent that you don't want to adopt conforming regulations at the state level, and suggest that most of those aren't terribly discretionary on our behalf.
And you'll see this package, OAL asks for a split between proposed regulations that would implement statutes that were enacted in 05, and then separating out statutes that were enacted prior to 05. So they're kind of keeping track of when the statutory authority was passed by the legislature and the governor. Now, when I say this is a baseline, that's, like we say, this is about 30% of the workload. So the real issue comes in on can we come to some agreement on prioritization and on the other 70% of, what's coming forward. And I think the largest thing looming this year is MLPA potential. And that is something that we have not had that large of an item coming for a while, is my understanding.
And they're projecting a September to OAL. I see.
Yes, and that's a non-binding projection. Right.
Yeah, and recognize that projection is based on the very simplistic notice, couple of discussion, and adoption. And we've been warning you that, depending on the commission's pleasure, this could be a very extensive multi-meeting process. And I think that's one of the things we need to talk about, is how do we plan this project out? Because you will get a lot of attention on this.
Or displeasure. This is going to be an arduous, long discussion, I suspect.
I don't see how it won't be.
No. There's too many, already, too many emails.
Right.
There's just too much going on.
And one of things we've been looking at, is there a way to logically parse this thing out? In other words, would the commission, for example, like to hear, so how did, what was the science used? How did the stakeholders come up with their projects? What exactly are the projects? And then have a pros and cons. I mean, you could easily, I could see logically breaking this task down into 4, 5, 6 different venues or parts.
And
alone.
It strikes me that it would be very important for us to strategize how we're going to hear this.
To avoid the chaos.
Yes. I mean, you really want to hear about the process, a lot about the process. We want some way to look at all of the alternatives, the sideboards of the alternatives, and then what are all the worthy alternatives and how do they overlap and the extent to which they don't, but the extent to which they do. All of these things will give us a finer sense of the nature of the process, and if in fact there was a good dynamic give and take in the process. Already the accusations are flowing that there was no disagreement. Now, some of those are genuinely disingenuous comments, but some of them are not. So we're going to need to really focus on, forget the science at first, I suspect. Let's focus on the process to make sure that we understand what happened. Yeah. Then we can get into, and I'm not suggesting that that I know how we should be doing this. This is just my idea.
Yeah, I'm just, if we're gonna, well, if we're discussing this now, then I just want to, I struggle with the fact that dozens of meetings have taken place. The Central Coast Working Group of Stakeholders has done a lot of work. The Scientific Committee has done a lot of work. The department has done a lot of work. And then they're going to come before us with a proposal. I mean, the commission wants to do this, but do we want to ignore all that and just start hearing from everybody from scratch again? Because what I think is we let the proposal be presented, the alternative or whatever, where there's agreement among everybody, except for maybe one or two people that send an email. We maybe move that part of the package forward. Where there's agreement, dissension, major questions, we might want to then look at making sure everybody was heard properly or whatever. I'm always concerned in these things because I always think that the people who tend to contact us are the people that participated in all these meetings, were heard, and didn't get their way, and then they come before us. And, sure. You know, they then to 10, 20 meetings out there in the Central Coast. I'm just not wanting to ignore the work that hundreds of citizens put into this, dozens of scientists, you know, staff. The reason they come to us is for us to review the package and look at it for final approval. But if we're just going to throw all that out, why do we have this process to begin with? So yeah, I'm just concerned about if someone's complaining, it doesn't mean that we have to hear, you know, a reevaluation of the whole scientific study. That's all I'm concerned with.
I completely agree. I do not mean to suggest that we revisit the entire thing. What I mean to suggest is that I believe that it is our fiduciary responsibility to ascertain, to be certain, that the process, the public process that was undertaken was in fact valid.
Okay.
That people were heard genuinely. That packages altered because of constituents being heard.
Okay.
Because and you can tell when you look at packages and you look at what ultimately happened, if essentially one group's package sails all the way through, and 99% ends up at the end, you got a problem.
Yeah. It's a tyranny of the majority.
Everyone else is wrong and they're right.
No, I understand.
But we need to understand that, you know, because I personally, it was not in this world. It was not in Fish and Game's world. But I personally have been involved in an industry that was the target of an absolute setup by a governmental agency that put together a group of people, and the people who were in the industry who were involved were just literally, they were so disrespected and not listened to and shunted to the side that it was enraging. It was one of those things that you just ended up, I am not in any way suggesting that that's what happened here. In fact, I think quite the opposite. But having said that, I am exquisitely personally sensitive to process, and I want to be certain that that's what happened.
Okay.
And I want to be clear, the department is in no way suggesting to start over. That's impossible.
I don't want to have another year of hearings on it.
No.
Disrespects a tremendous amount of effort.
Exactly. And quite honestly, I can personally say they have done tremendous work.
Yeah.
Our goal is to make sure you know what you're.
That's what I'd like to see.
What you're working with, and that you make informed decisions. That's our only goal. So we'd like to figure out how does the commission want to tackle that.
Because those who don't want it will ask for hearing after hearing after hearing. There's no doubt about it.
That's why we're paying the big bucks.
No, I'm just saying. So,
well, first of all, I'd like to add that. I mean, you made the comment that I don't want to do another year's worth of hearings. Well, I think we have to do as many hearings as it takes. So I'm not going to limit myself as to a time frame that has to be done by this certain period, and that's it, and we move forward.
I understand. That's always been.
And what I'm trying to avoid here is somebody who has history, and you have a little bit of it, but not that much, because you came in at the tail end of Channel Islands, and I don't want to go down that road. And that's sort of what happened in that process that Richard's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's fair. There were 36 hearings and three proposals.
Speaking as somebody who worked in the governor's office, who was behind the scenes,
I know, and you were sick that
politically
day.
What happened.
You were sick that day. You know,
it sort of got spun out of control, and you know, we wanted to do something a little bit more incrementally. So I just want to see that it's fair and open process, and that, yeah, there may be some people who aren't happy, but we owe it to them to at least take a look and investigate and see whether or not that anger or that distrust is warranted.
That's what we've all said. I'm sure, Sankey, because you have a very fine hand and understanding of all this, I'm not just, you know, jerking your chain here. I know you do. And so let's try to put together a way to present this to the commission that answers mm-hmm. these concerns, so that we step through it, so that we can actually all be on the same page here, you know, so that we can really understand. Because it would be really unfortunate to have some very specific decisions that need to be made without the background being understood. Mm-hmm. So we need
And what we haven't presented, in my opinion, as planned, they present the package. We then look at it. If we're comfortable with it, which I know we won't be at that moment, we would move it forward. If there are sections of it that we need more hearings on, that's at that point is where we ask for more hearings. We don't know yet whether we're comfortable with the package. We don't know yet what specifics are going to come up as, you know, areas of contention that might need further investigation. So, I mean, I don't want to just presume that we're going to have lots of problems.
No. And you know.
Also, the department has its opportunity. They're going to do the analysis on it. They may reject it and not like
absolutely.
It and say, hey,
absolutely.
Before it even gets
there. I mean, there may be enforcement issues.
Absolutely.
Thing,
so I just want to hear what they have.
Like, no,
and then make some decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, the commission, correct me John if I'm wrong, the commission's scheduled to get a presentation from the Blue Ribbon Task Force at the May meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
And
well,
that's
a joint hearing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Late
May meeting.
Right now, it's scheduled for 9 a.m. on May 25th.
Yep.
But when will they make their formal presentation?
At that time.
That's
my understanding.
So that's it? They're not coming before the commission?
That's not our joint meeting with forestry. That's our joint one-day
separate
meeting.
Right, like we did last year.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So it's going to take place in the morning.
State's building.
But they're not going to then come
not
to
sure
us and make a formal presentation.
You say it's late.
That's when they are making a formal presentation. That's the point of that.
Is it May 27th? I'm sorry.
The department.
The 25th.
At the May 25th meeting, just for clarity, for what little there is.
Well, the first time. Yeah.
The Blue Ribbon Task Force is planning on giving the commission their results of their work.
Sure.
That is their formal presentation on May 25th. They are basically saying, here it is.
So why the department would be making that presentation?
Yeah. Well, until we actually formally receive it, we're not sure whether we're going to be, what our role exactly will be. We're working with that right now. We're not sure, depending on the nature of the packages, whether we're going to have some more work to do.
When do you anticipate receiving it?
They're scheduled to get it to us in another week or two.
Okay, because during that meeting, I, for one, I know will have beaucoup questions that I suspect only the department would be in a position to answer. So
we're going to, and Mr. Traynor is correct, we're going to be there at that May 25th meeting helping explain the packages, because we were instrumental in helping the Blue Ribbon Task Force. So we're part of it.
Could you do a little background on how the Blue Ribbon Task Force was created and who's the lead? I mean, the department's not the lead of the Blue Ribbon Task Force, right?
Yes.
So the question on whether the department will be making that presentation on the 25th, give a little background on what the who's who here.
Okay, the Blue Ribbon Task Force was tasked through this public-private partnership to take on the planning for the Central Coast section of the California coast. They acquired funding and staffed up, and the department is support staff. We formed a team to help feed basically data to this planning process. They formed a group of stakeholders, they formed a science team, and they've been working on this now for over a year, basically, developing these packages. The department has been keeping them in the line, so to speak. The first thing they did actually was the master plan framework, which you adopted. which was critical. That set up the framework for the actual, what we're calling packages of alternatives for these reserve systems. There's standards set forth in that framework, and these packages, the Blue Ribbon Task Forces make sure the packages adhere to the framework. And they've completed several. They've accepted them. They're still working out some of the bugs. And it also turns out the Blue Ribbon Task Force has apparently decided to create their own package. And there's been lots of confusion in the public about whether it's the departments, it's not, it's the task force.
Right.
So you will be getting three or four, we're still not entirely sure, packages from the stakeholder groups and from the Blue Ribbon Task Force itself. They're kind of doing, my understanding is they're kind of taking the best of all worlds and creating their own version.
But that ultimate decision on how many packages come is decided by the Blue Ribbon Task Force?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, once again, can I ask a question? Because I want them to do their work, too. They have a Blue Ribbon Task Force package. Then for those that didn't sort of make it into that package, they're encouraging those stakeholders to come forth with their own package, sort of like, we weren't heard, here's our opinion on this.
The process that everyone agreed to, the task force is obliged
That's
to present the stakeholder package that met the criteria.
Got it.
I think they're actually going to give you everything, but they will be in a different category. They didn't meet the standards of the framework.
Okay.
So they're going to give you all those, and apparently their own hybrid, if you will.
Cool. And we can cut and paste.
Oh, it's up to us.
No, I know. That's what I mean. That's okay. It's like alternatives that we get from
our
you
job.
Guys, you know.
Our job in the interim, and we will not be done by May. We will simply help explain what you're seeing. We will help task force explain the stuff you're going to get for the May 25th meeting. We will not have an opinion on any of them. That is something, well, we may or may not, that's something we're trying to see. Because there's a step of analysis.
Let me give you an example of something that I observed, you know, having seen a couple of their... I sat in the back of a couple of their meetings. One of the presentations that I observed, in this case it happened to be an economic presentation, I fundamentally disagreed with the economic premise being having a degree in that. And I didn't understand where this guy could have been coming from except ideologically. I'm assuming that those, you know which one I'm talking about, I'm assuming that those sorts of elements will be, we can, what will be the procedure for calling back in, you know, if, for example, economic damage to a community or advantage to a community by some action that we're about to take, we take exception to that in some way, or we're curious how they got there, will we be able to bring in outside experts or other constituents to comment on that? Because going back to your comment, I mean, this, if we, I'm not sure how you can avoid doing that if we're going to be doing the job we're supposed to be doing. And that's really, if we're not all kind of ready for that in some way, this is really going to drag out.
You have hit on exactly what I started the conversation is these packages will come to you. They made decisions. And what we need to make sure is you understand how they made the decisions.
Right.
And you recognize, we'll recognize, none of the packages are perfect. And so the question
is... No, people, I mean, perfectly reasonable right. people can disagree. Right. I mean, so it's not a problem.
So the question is how much understanding does the commission want to know on... They all have their strengths and weaknesses, and there are lots of assumptions that went into it. What we're basically asking is, you know, for example, you've identified the whole issue of how economic analysis was done. If the and it's completely your purview. You are the regulatory body that has complete authority to adopt any version, all or none of it. So if the commission wants or sees an area they have concerns about, it's completely your prerogative to say, we're going to focus, and all I'm asking is if as you develop those or know that you have them, we kind of need to know because kind of the reason we're here
is
a huge workload and we have to organize it.
Except it was only by dint of the fact that I was sitting there, you know, and here I'm listening. I'm watching the guy who is the director of the Packard going, huh? Yeah, but yeah, yeah. But here's another guy who was fairly
but I think
well
it,
qualified.
I think,
you know, and it was one of those things. Okay, but I know about that little tiny piece, but I don't know about any of the rest of it, except for all the damn emails I've been getting.
And I think to honor the process, it's important for them to tell you what yeah. they did, how they did it, and here it is, and explain.
That, and we can ask. We can then ask follow up questions. So how did you come to that opinion, and who?
But you were saying you wanted to find out as much as you could in advance, and I'm not sure how would you suggest to do that?
Well, you're in May. Go ahead.
Could I ask a clarifying thing on this May thing? I'm saying that the department won't be ready with analysis.
I don't know yet.
Okay. What I'm hearing from my staff is that the whole reason for this meeting in May is to receive department's analysis on the Blue Ribbon Task Force recommendation. So. I mean, if we're not going to be there, I just want some clarification and some understanding on if it's still worth going forward with that late May meeting, if the department's not ready with its analysis.
Well, we've got to hear.
And I'm new to this. So
there's several things. Obviously, the commission has made it very clear you want materials ahead of time so you can have a chance to look at it and know what you're going to hear. Right. We've gotten that message. May 25th, the briefing binder deadline for the May 25th meeting would be when? I'm basically working back. Would be what?
Well,
12
it would
days?
Be
April.
Be middle
April.
Of April.
Roughly
April.
Middle of April.
It's,
or
it's
of April.
March
of April.
8th.
Of April.
We don't know exactly when we'll get the packages, and we have staff. They already have seen some of them. They're essentially done. And they're working on it. I'm not sure yet where we will be, how ready we'll be. The commitment, I think it's still important for the commission to really hear what's been done.
Sure.
It may not be complete, but it's going to set up and may provide us an insight on how you want.
On what the work
may
is.
I suggest one thing here too, though. We work real hard, and everyone in this room works real hard on these issues and the things that we do. Those people are a Blue Ribbon Task Force that came from all kinds of things. It would be extremely disrespectful if we didn't let them make that presentation.
Sure.
And I don't want to disrespect the extraordinary effort these people put into this thing.
I'm okay with
going and sitting unprepared in a meeting if that's what we have to do. If only to honor the immense work these people put in.
And we're not supposed to be prepared yet. That's their first attempt at presenting. Then
this
we react, and then we.
So I don't have a problem with
that.
Would
it be wrong to move it 2 weeks to give staff enough time?
No moving it.
Whatever.
I don't understand. You know what the deal is in terms of if we need to give staff a little more time.
If it's two weeks, that's fine. I don't think it's a month, maybe not.
Just a question, and I think a lot of this is looking at kind of the strategic issues. We started with workload and the base workload, and this obviously is a huge issue that is coming before us very soon. But when the Blue Ribbon panel has the opportunity to provide the integrity of a presentation that encapsulates their full deliberation and the process they use, that gives you a package and a picture. And you will perhaps have questions, and you reference the economic analysis. And as a possible scenario, not a suggestion, you might say, all right, I have, as commissioners, as a group, or individually, interest in the economic analysis that was done. Now, if you were to come to the department is not going to necessarily anticipate each and every area of your interest. So that presentation in toto, honoring the process they've gone through and the immense amount of work, the stakeholders will be there that have been participating in the process. We'll give you a context of hopefully be able to isolate those areas of where you want additional clarification or uncertainty or analysis that needs to be done. And that analysis, I think in this case, if you were to say, I want a hard review on the economics of this, I would say, okay, I have limited capacity within the department on economic analysis, but the commission might be able to solicit from an independent, well-noted, blue-ribbon participant or one of the economists that was on the science panel that I appointed be available to help answer your specific questions in a fashion that's much more instructive than perhaps what you've been writing. Or you could choose, I'd like to have a peer review of this particular area, and through contacts other than the department, perhaps, would be the more appropriate folks to give you that type of high-end economic analysis. And there's people out there, other agencies have used through their commissions and boards a peer review that, frankly, that people are happy to participate with great credentials because it's a feather in their cap. Yep. We haven't been doing that, but this is a huge, huge, incredible investment of time and effort, stellar people that were on the panel, a lot of work. And I would like to keep, as we committed to and when we started this public-private partnership, to let the public-private partnership document and product and have the opportunity to be presented to you, you know, as it was designed, you know, as they crafted it, without us having a... We tried to keep a role of being a service and yet not prejudging our recommendations to the commission or the alternatives. So that's important, I think, to try to maintain.
And as I was going to say, I understand what Commissioner Flores said, maybe we need two more weeks to get the department to, you know, be able to brief us better, but whether it's 2 weeks or 6 months, we're not going to know what we are concerned about until the package is presented. So I'm comfortable with just letting May 25th be the presentation. No decisions are made, and that's when the questions come up to us at that point.
And then I guess and a follow-up question that I would like to kind of discuss, a follow-up on that would be, is it the commission's pleasure to then have special hearings?
We don't know yet. Yeah, we don't know.
I mean, well, what... our what I'm getting at, basically, is we know there's going to be some questions that follow up on this presentation.
Right.
Would be the commission's pleasure to at least consider adding those to the future meetings beyond that, or having special hearings on top of that. And
I'm sorry, if you're referring to the regulatory calendar, the reason this is kind of important is for we initially identified this, I think, on page 3. Under Central Coast Marine Protected Area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, it's identified as going to notice at the June meeting.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and...
There's no way.
Remember, this is a guideline.
No, I know it's a guideline.
OAL is not just
a
word
about
it.
That's not...
Right, no, it's clear. It's just, you know, for a placeholder, this is what we put, because this was part of the original timing, that
right.
Whole thing. I'm just making you aware that, you know, I think the department's goal at the May meeting is to simply help let you know what you have to work with. The packages, the process, we must respect that process. We've had people sacrifice personal lives to put that together. I think we owe it all to them. But then, depending on the commission's prerogative, I mean, this seems a little aggressive to me, and just we need to start planning how do... And you may want to wait to make any decisions about it until after you've heard the presentation.
Well, yeah, I agree. You always can. You are silver-tongued devil. We all know this. This is perhaps the single most important thing that this commission has maybe ever done. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people, the impact on their lives and what they can do and what they can't do. Not even talking about the critters and what we're going to be doing at sea here. So this has to be done very carefully and with great deliberation.
Yeah.
Adriana wants to say something.
Can I clarify something? Because Commissioner Troy raised. Look, I sit here, I sat on this board for a great deal of time, and I'm always hearing how staff is overtaxed. And my only point in trying to postpone it is just that. I want to make sure that staff has adequate time. I certainly respect the process. I respect the people that have put in all the time. So I just want to clarify that it wasn't in to delay it, but I understand your workload and the demands. And this is just but one piece that we place on you. And so if I can buy you more time, I'm going to do that. Because while I respect the process, I certainly respect the work that you guys have to do in this. So that was my only point. Okay? Go ahead, Adrian.
I think part of the reason we're here is to prioritize these things. So I think if maybe we could just get some agreement basically on how to proceed as far as, do we want to handle this within the pre-existing scheduled meetings or outside of that?
Well, I'm not sure we're going to know, if I may just respond.
Okay.
I'm not sure we're going to know until we see the package.
Right.
And once you see the package and get an initial response from the department about the package and listen to fellow commissioners and our constituents and, you know, and the stakeholders, I'm not sure we're going to know that.
My concern is we have a lot of regulatory items to address at those meetings that we have on the calendar now. We can add more meetings. We can add half-day meetings on the coastal areas to devote time and specific attention to this.
Where I was headed was, we need to discuss the whole calendar and any other potentially hot items that we're going to have to spend some time on, and then we can come back to answer maybe more specifically. Even then, it's going to be a guess
right.
as to how much time and what's
well,
the
this
best.
This is also low at 30%.
Right.
So that's what I'm. And part of
the big ticket items that we know are coming: sport fish regulations.
Right.
On year for sport fish.
I know.
Right.
I started that already.
We have our water policy.
Okay.
Water
what else?
Those are just two of what AGR is looking at that are going to be on the calendar no matter what.
Big items.
And
are going to take a lot of time.
A lot.
I think we don't have to put it to paper today if we're going to have special meetings or not, but keep it in the back of your minds that. There's some options, and one option is to, instead of having two-day meetings, maybe make some of our meetings three-day meetings if we have to, if the load really gets high.
I personally would prefer three-day meetings as opposed to odd meetings in the middle of other weeks.
Sure. It helps with
for
travel.
Me, I actually do have a day job.
And it's more cost-effective, too, for travel and getting everybody there.
Yeah, it's better.
The only potential problem with that is we're meeting in some areas that are nowhere near the coast.
Right. I was going to mention, do we want to look at meeting in the Central Coast area for...
And we probably will.
Yeah.
Santa Barbara's real.
We probably will, but
we're doing that in August.
It's kind of hard to predict right now whether we're going to be one or two or three.
Well, I don't think anyone wants to put it... I mean, I'm not trying to put a number on it. I'm just saying this is only 30%.
Sure.
And I think last year we had 55 regulatory packages.
Sure.
And those come up at the meetings, and if we can't agree to some prioritization of what we can handle or what we can put off till next year, what's paramount, that's...
Well, that's why this meeting is so important today, because I think if all of us get a real good handle on the fact that already we don't have any time.
Yeah. Well, and I'm concerned...
So, I mean, already... So if somebody's got a bright idea they want to bring to this board, this commission, they just kind of need to keep that in their back pocket for another year.
The other thing to be concerned with for the meeting today is we have to break at noon. We have to. So if we can try and get some sort of agreement.
What did you say we have to do?
You heard some consensus here that three-day meetings made sense if we need to... That May 25th, we would like to hear, we think. Is that correct? Or not?
Yeah, we want to hear.
Yeah.
And then decide if we need one, two, three.
Hey, Garrett, what we've done in the past on 3 days, gosh, I remember the last one, I think we flew to San Diego, did all day, and then we got in the plane and flew to where our two-day hearing was. So we can do some of those in order to accommodate the coast and the MLPA.
Don't we have another coastal meeting in August?
Santa Barbara.
Yes,
so
we do. And we're in San Diego as well.
May 25th,
We can work it out.
Yeah, we can work it out.
That's not a problem. I think
we can work it out.
How's this?
In fact, we're going to be red hot in the
middle
of this, in August, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the early August meeting is here in Sacramento. The late August is in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll work on, just trying to get an idea of what we're looking at. We'll look at 3-day meetings.
Other additional regulatory things you might need to do that's been presented either through sport fishing, through marine protected area, or through waterfowl regs or whatever.
Okay.
Comment?
Yeah, the 3-day meeting is a great concept since it's so hard to get folks together. Knock off. The only thing I ask folks consider is being very diligent or thoughtful of what we put on that, because often, and we'll get into this in some detail, I mean, you can add a third day, but it may be asking the same staff another work to do by the same deadline. It's a workload issue. So that when we talk about this, for example, it may get down to, do we, for August, do we focus on sport fish and MLPAs and all the other stuff gets tabled? Because things, for example, like urchin or squid may exactly be the same people that have to be involved in the MLPA and the sport fish stuff. So,
are you saying that the marine staff is lightweight?
They're redlined. They redlined several years ago. They're starting to burn out. The point is we need to be thinking, like, there's things in here. For example, no offense to enforcement, but there's an item. What we need guidance on.
Yeah, don't offend enforcement.
No, I mean, there, for example, just in terms of this notion of prioritization, I think Aunt Adriana was really trying to bring home. There's a thing on here, big game feeding. We need to fix it. It's not an emergency.
Right.
So in theory, you could put that one off and say, okay, we're not going to tackle it this year because we would rather invest our enforcement thinking pool to focus on implementation of MLPA or sport fish. So those are the kind of things I think when we talk prioritization is being able to say, okay, we're not going to do these things this year. This year we're going to focus on these key things, and then we devote all our energy to doing those well. That's kind of what I'm hoping to get out. There's some control over the... I think Carlson and I had a conversation. He called it themes. What's our regulatory theme for the year? And really try and contain it to that. And it's also a matter of predictability for the poor public. I mean, you guys got groupies that follow the meetings around.
One of them's here.
No, I mean, and that's wonderful. You have a fan base.
Where's my towel here?
I mean, the point is there's a lot of folks who are thinking we're going to get to something instead of just saying, look, this year we're going to accomplish these things. No, your item's coming up
next
year.
Exactly, and that was our point
some
of
predictability.
Requesting this today is to make sure that we...
I think that's very important.
And as an example, so far this year, there has been indications that we want to tackle the entire restricted access fishery, all of them.
Well, it's under consideration at a subcommittee level.
Right. Right.
Not on the regulatory board.
What I think...
Right, but that's it's still staff time, so if that's something that...
Commission time,
department time... even though it's not a regulatory item, that's something that's not on here, but that's something that the commission has indicated they'd like to look at. So if we could maybe pick a few things based on your preferences, and everything else would be handled if there is time. So if we can kind of get a lineup of the most important things to deal with this year and then stick to it at the meeting as well, because you all know you get requests from, you get 20 requests at a meeting to move forward on things or look into things. And if we have agreement between department staff and commission staff on what your preferences are, then...
Well, do you have a recommendation?
Well, I agree with it that entirely, because what gets agenda then pulls in everybody. It pulls in staff, it pulls in people, it pulls in everybody.
Right.
And but if it's not agendized, it's public comment. And that's a lot easier to deal with than once you agendize something, because then everybody has to get involved. So if we're extremely careful after this meeting and we figure out what it is, what our priorities are, about what the heck makes it onto a noticed agenda, that's the way you're going to control that problem. However, what Tauscher does or what the Marine Subcommittee does, you can talk a lot about, because a lot of things take a lot of talking. For example, the whole idea of restricted entry fisheries is going to take a lot of listening to people and a lot of talking, and probably not a whole bunch of staff time. There will be some, of course, but it'll be a lot of just learning about, you know, why was it blah.
Right. I just want to really emphasize that the same people that are doing the MLPA Blue Ribbon Task Force are the same people that are doing sport fish, are the same people that are doing restricted access fisheries, are the
Well, that was kind of, we were hoping to get a flavor from the department on how thin that level of staffing is. Adriana's exactly right. And we've been hearing it from you kind of around the edges at the meetings. But to right now is the time. Right now,
been getting more desperate.
Right now is the time to say we've got one staffer that would do all four of those things, because I've kind of heard that from you. And, you know, we need to prioritize as
right,
a group.
Right.
Cutting to the chase, kind of I think what Adriana was pleading there. Sport fish we have to do. We're on cycle. That's a given.
And some require mandatory.
Right. And that sphere, Gary, our regional manager for marine, is still in flux. We're still not entirely sure what all subjects we're going to wrestle with in the sport fish. There's all kinds of items.
Right.
That's so, and it's big. It has both, obviously, marine and inland and some commercial stuff involved. That is a huge package, and as Adriana pointed out, it is the same staff work and everything else.
And it's required.
It's required. So that kind of sets the mark for some work.
Although the requirement doesn't say how large the package has to be.
No, matter of fact,
so we have some discretion there.
Absolutely.
How many amendments
we don't have to change anything.
Well, you don't have to change a single thing.
Right.
Yeah, it could be very easily done. What I'm saying is,
yes,
we say these things are big ticket items until we make a decision on them. We could vote to do nothing and there's no work.
And what we may...
I'm just saying.
That's correct.
What I think we're going to need to do is we're probably going to need to give you sometime very shortly, kind of a short list of, under the sport fish, what items have come up.
Exactly.
And then maybe get some feedback from the commission.
Yeah, yeah,
what
yeah,
items
yeah.
do you want to actually Absolutely. Tackle? Because you may not want to tackle them.
Because it's hard to prioritize when we...
On that package.
In a way, it's hard to prioritize blindly right now, because in a way... It'd be us choosing what gets heard, and in a way, that's voting to do these things and ignoring the rest without even knowing what the workload or
why
the controversial issues might be,
or
what people think. I mean, I would be glad to prioritize and provide, you know, sense of what should be done. I don't know if that will match what the other commissioners want, but it's sort of in a way. Backroom deal making on what gets heard and what gets decided. I'm not even sure it's something that the attorneys would be comfortable with. If we get three votes to prioritize, that's three votes to do the issue, in my opinion. And it's,
right.
and it's a decision not to do the other ones.
I guess our challenge here is how do we identify the various issues that come up? We can do that. We're getting recommendations for all kinds of change, including our own ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Before we initiate a full-blown regulatory
eyesore,
but the work begins earnest if you do and go to notes. Do a pre-discussion about, here are the issues that have come up.
That'd be good to know.
Do we want to kind of parse them out and say, we're going to tackle these issues in this sport fish cycle, the others will wait for next cycle. That's kind of the guidance I think we can work on before you get any kind of decision.
That would help us. That would help.
The other biggie, just to kind of finish the thought, is obviously MLPA. Again, the same staff will be working both on sport fish and MLPA largely. And then there's some mammal clean, you know, stuff we're kind of finishing up now.
Well, getting back to what Bob Hatchway just said, you know, I think we're kind of struggling for a mechanism to try to prioritize a workload to match up with staffing. You know, not to do backroom deals, but one thing that we have to have in that component, and we've done this in the past on workload planning with staffs. There's an element, maybe 50%, maybe 25%, that is going to be unknown. You have to have a category for unknowns because public testimony, public requests, new things that pop
emergencies.
Up, right? Emergencies. So you know, I'm not recommending we try to have 100% prioritization. We're going to have room open for emergencies and unexpected items coming up from the public that the commission chooses to go forward with.
And we have to make room for to anticipate that what we think might be a big controversial issue might not be. I mean, we talk about waterfowl, you know, regulations. I remember last year we debated that for a couple hours and it passed. There was not like a need for four extra hearings or anything. Sport fishing could be the same thing. We don't know. There are big issues I know that are. I mean, I'm sure that's going to be more complicated than. But
I've heard of
but
a package.
We don't know whether these
I've
things are going to be.
I've heard of a package for robo fish.
Yeah, that's great. But you know what I'm saying? It's let's not anticipate, you know, like chaos. We don't know for sure it's going to be.
I agree with you. And another thing to consider is we've been telling folks that have come to the commission that their recommendation will be taken care of within the sport fishing cycle.
Right.
So there has been a commitment made there that their comments will at least be addressed at this time. So I'm not suggesting that within a package we pick out the things we want to do or not.
Okay.
But, and this discussion is really just most helpful so that everyone realizes what we have coming up and maybe some other things can be pushed aside that may come up in the future. Because we can't do everything. We just can't.
We can decide all we want to look at a whole bunch of packages, but I think the reality is we just don't have the wherewithal to do it. So we absolutely must prioritize. We just have to do it.
It doesn't have to be hard and fast.
We're just going to have to do that because it's very clear that we don't have the resources.
I guess I just have an issue with the concept of, and I respect everything that you're saying, Santi and Adriana, but the concept of pushed aside because a lot of work has been done by stakeholders, public, staff on every one of these issues. Too much work, obviously. And I just don't know. I don't know how I make the decision unless there's some sort of department analysis given to us for each one of these things. What is going to be the time-consuming, controversial, problematic issues that are going to drag staff away from, you know, other priority issues? I mean, the fact that the same staff person works on four things, that might be doable if we don't cause them too much grief. It might not be doable if every one of them becomes a very complicated, very contentious, very, So I just don't know right this second how you push things aside.
Bob, if we run scared of making decisions, then we're never going to get anything done. And we've been arguing that it's our job, not somebody else's job, to prioritize things. And I don't think anybody out there is going to accuse us of doing backroom deals if we, as a commission, prioritize the issues that we think at this time are more important. There's nothing to say we can't change that.
Sure, I'm sure that no one will complain about us making quote backroom deals as long as their issues are part of the priority.
Well,
I'm sure of that.
But if it isn't,
go ahead.
And if it's not, they'll want to know in a fair way, just like we want to know how we made that decision and why the other issue, which is to them as important as the other ones we made,
you're
going to
have
considered.
That. It don't matter. You can't.
I understand.
Yeah. Everybody has.
I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, just I mean that's. Bottom line, why we're here. We're going to have to deal with that.
I think the bottom line is we have to make some decision on all of these issues.
Absolutely.
That's what I think.
And I don't think when staff said, and I'm going to try to interpret your words, pushing things aside did not mean we weren't getting to them. It just meant that we're not looking at this summer trying to deal
okay.
with
right.
certain issues at the same time we're dealing with MLPA and sport fishing.
I agree.
Okay.
And Bob, you just made the comment.
We're going to get there.
We have to make a decision on all these issues. You realize, of course, that someone other than ourselves made a decision to put this list together.
Okay.
So which other issues are out there
that
we all have to make a decision on? No, I mean, don't worry about that stuff. We've got to prioritize what's in front of us. If we get heat from constituents, we just get heat.
So we've heard about those two. What else do we have that is either...
Well, again, the recognition has to be there that this covers about 30% of what actually gets done in terms of regulations. There will be things that come up that neither the commission nor the department nor anybody anticipates at this point. For example,
salmon fishing.
Well, and last year it was condors and lead, and I think in a discussion meeting in San Diego, I forget whether it was February or what.
San Diego, we committed to address that issue in our reg package on honey.
Mm-hmm.
And things may boil over in live animal markets. So
there will be
those
issues.
You don't know what's going on.
Well, I think my point being that we've got a package in front of us. Can we start with this? We've heard about two of the items. We've discussed two. Can we then talk about any others that either you think are less of a priority that you could recommend we could hold off on? You've made one suggestion on the mammal feeding. Is that right?
Yeah.
But that could, that's one that could be...
On mammal what?
Big game feeding.
Right?
No, is that incorporated in the cleanup mammal, or is that a separate...
It's not part of the mammal reg. The mammal.
It's cleanup.
It's. I don't want to belabor it. Currently, it's against a lot of big game.
Right.
Our process requires the regional manager to get involved. Enforcement, and for a lot of sense, because they've restructured it, be more efficient for enforcement to engage the violators, if you will, than the regional manager. It's not critical. It's not a big change. It's probably not very controversial. However, it might touch in the whole issue of feeding animals is a very emotional subject and. You never know. Those things can go real smoothly or they can go boom.
Well,
but it's not do or die right now. It's not on a hard schedule. It's not. It could wait. And there would be an argument to put it into the mammal cycle, which is on next year, right? Is that next year the on cycle for mammals? So in theory, you could bottle this up.
Let me ask you about one that's actually a hot button for me. Page 5, bottom 1.
And I'm wondering if we want to go through these one by one, Richard, or if we
ought to
with the pleasure.
Yes.
That to me is not done by wardens. It is not done by biologists. That has nothing to do with the kind of people we're talking about being involved with regulatory packages. And yet, that to me is incredibly important.
Yes, yes. And we all agree.
Yeah. And so, do you guys believe that you have the wherewithal and the resources to be able to pursue that forward so that someone visiting, contemplating, taking part in a tournament, a vast tournament here, which are getting better and better and bigger and bigger, doesn't have to come in for sure the day before so that they can get to some place where they can buy a license. You know, that's just because most states you can buy it online.
Right. The good news there.
So how do we do this?
This one is one that involves different staff.
The
good news
is this
doesn't involve marine staff.
That's why I'm excited about it.
Right. This staff is set aside.
So can we say that this is a high priority and we're not worried
this
about...
This is important.
Okay, so this is important. This is a high priority. Does everybody kind of feel that way?
Yep.
You know, because when you got guys who want to come and go do some bow hunting someplace, for God's sakes...
It's all three of these. It's page 5. The bottom 3.
Yeah. All 3 of them, yes.
Yeah. Excuse me, I was just focused
on... Can I make a quick announcement? We didn't have those out, copies of this for the public, and I'm making copies, or having copies made right now, so they'll be passed out. Sorry about that.
We're talking about automatic licensing right now.
Yeah, I can view that as kind of a no-brainer in terms of
that's
something we've been promising for years. We're on the cusp of finishing our bid for proposals. I think we'll be ready. And recognize that at December is where we begin the notice and go into the process of adopting any necessary rules to actually implement.
Those three.
Yeah,
this is just sort of going forward whether we prioritize it or not.
Yeah. Has department staff started working on any of these? Because if they have, to finish them up might not be a big deal, but to put future things.
For 10 years.
Yes.
The commission was not the obstacle on this. The obstacle on this was Department of Finance in 08, and we've got through that, and we're out on a limb.
I don't necessarily mean this particular item, but these things that we're checking off as not important, if they're at the tail end of the workload,
sure as hell.
You know what I mean? There's no sense in putting them off.
But in a way, I'm thinking backwards. Why make it a priority if it's done? And what I'm trying to say is just to get it off the table. Because I don't want to say we prioritize 5 really important things, and one is automatic licensing, which makes something else not become a priority when it's going to happen really soon. Whether we prioritize it or not.
The way I heard the discussion here is you're saying you want to keep this on your schedule.
Yeah, to maybe get that.
Finish the job.
Yeah, please.
Let's finish the job.
And we're saying we can do it. It's good. Not
okay.
A thing.
Well, see, because one of the things that maybe perhaps all the commissioners are not, I mean, most of them are, I'm sure, aware, is that once you get all this stuff, you're not in the database. And Nancy's job is a heck of a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you can pick off people doing something in some other venue that the local wardens down someplace else where they move know all about. Okay, and that's something we got to get this thing automated.
And on that issue, it's a convenience to the buyer, but also it has huge opportunities for us to help in the rec fin analysis, the data-driven issues with ocean harvest recreationally. And I know you've been very patient in the liberation of this, and we've got through the bureaucratic hoops for the most part on this end. So it's got huge benefits for us.
We're actually kind of lagging as a state in this.
We're only behind South Dakota and North Dakota.
Even Arkansas is in front of us, for God's sake.
Some of the states don't ever want to have it, too.
The other, I'll call category, that's generally not showed up in the planning parts, but as you've been hearing pops up frequently, is this whole issue of restricted access. There's a lot of bits and pieces. We got problems with squid, we got problems with herring, we got problems with urchin. They all are part of this whole notion.
Am I being naive if I say Marie and I have yet, and Gary, we have yet to really have that, you know, that scoping meeting for that we were talking about Friday. But what I think is very important on that one is that one stay on the Marine Subcommittee agenda, and we do talk about it a lot to raise everyone's consciousness, conscious level about how complex and far-reaching that one really is, and then we can bring, once we get a better handle on it, we then bring it back here, and then we can start to elevate the time and the package and all that, and see how it fits into everyone's
schedule. Exactly. My point is in terms of regulatory commitments, you know, do we say, look, we want to have in the subcommittee, we want to work this year on really understanding all the ins and outs, how we might fix these things in a comprehensive way, where we come back next year with the regulatory packages.
Well, what's your sense of that? Do we have to? We don't have to put that in here.
No. But what the reason I bring it up? This only represents 30% of what ends up recently showing up. The question I'm looking for is: do you want to put word out? We're not going to mess with changing restricted access rules for the immediate future. Instead, we're going to have focus at the subcommittee to really flesh these issues out, come up with agreed upon solutions to fix them, and we'll then come forward with regulatory fixes maybe next year or later in the year, something like that. In other words,
I can't speak for my other committee member, but as chair of that committee, I'm comfortable with that, given the nature of, and the intensity of. Well, how do you feel about that?
No, I think that's fine.
We need to talk about this a lot because a lot of the complexity of restricted access is actually there for very good reason.
Some of it there very much so.
And so, but it's kind of by topsy, and it's a big mess. And it's inconsistent, and it's something that we need to get out.
And recognize fully that after the first subcommittee, you may say, yes, we want to do an overhaul, but we do want to address maybe these few items. And that's fine. And then you come back to the commission and say, we want to add these to your plate.
Yeah, there may be some glaring things that we want to
Otherwise, my fear is, here's your schedule, and every meeting there are folks at the company say, well, you need to fix this, you need to fix that.
Right.
Each one of those is a huge workload.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And we're working on, just so you know, Marine Committee members, we're working on setting the schedule far ahead of time instead of just scheduling it at will.
Mr. Carlson plucked it out of my hand. I actually had the suggested dates in my fingers Friday. And it was plucked out of my fingers by Mr. Carlson.
It magically appeared.
So what I'm getting at is restricted access and things like that. We can plan out what we're going to look at, things like that, for the Marine Subcommittee.
Yeah, because restricted access is hugely important, hugely complicated, and can't be done without first going to the Marine Subcommittee for a number of hearings before the department.
That's it.
So we're not taking it off of an importance list. So we're figuring out how to solve the problem.
Right, and so when someone comes to you at the commission meeting and has an issue with restricted access, instead of taking it up at that point, we are dealing with this.
And Gary whispered in the ear out of desperation. His voice rises and he gets desperate. The recognition is the workload would then, instead of working on regulatory packages outright, would be focused on supporting the subcommittee with information on those programs. In other words,
you know, it's and not for me. We're going to be moving the staff energy to supporting the discussions in that subcommittee, District X, which is incredibly important.
Yeah, I agree.
And those are the issues that people have to sit around
and
table
really
like this
agree with that
and hash
as
out.
As a tactic.
It's done better at that committee.
Really,
okay.
I agree with that. Good. Now, these dates, by the way, are very important just for your education, because a lot of these dates relate to PFMC meetings, and so there are certain things in the Marine subcommittee that where if we don't have it on that date, then Maria et al. Can't do the proper thing. In
She has to read the minutes.
Yeah, really. And it's normally very easy.
We do appreciate, we really, by the way, appreciated the input we got at the meeting last week.
It's good meeting. It's actually a very good meeting.
So far we've decided that sport fishing is a priority, MPAs are a priority, restricted access goes to committee, and no one cares about whether we feed big game or not for another year. No, but I mean, that's
that one would be logical.
Was that a joke?
Yeah, it was.
That one would be a logical one to throw in the mammal rights side of the
matter. Exactly. And that's in here somewhere, too.
Or beyond such next year.
Next year, that's off your mammal rights during the mammal. That will stay.
Yeah, that's what I was, Stonky, that was the issue I was trying to get at when I asked that question. If it takes no staff and it's just a regular, and the package is already developed.
Yeah, the only trick is staff work, but sometimes on the public process discussion, you'd be amazed how sometimes, and we have examples of what we thought was a really no-brainer, also go with code.
Well, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Please.
I guess on that subject, and we have to, in the purpose of the commission and the department as well, is to take input and suggestions and requests from the public, and they care deeply, they're passionate about the rich we adopt. But not all of these changes are monumental to the consequence of the angler satisfaction or the environmental benefit or for the hunters from that standpoint. And we all have our personal preferences, and the commission typically is the body that gets those from the very devoted followers of the commission and folks that care deeply about their fisheries or their hunting or the ecological issue, whatever the issue might be. But in many cases, the change in law and the change that we go through, the regulation that we wind up adopting, we need to have some collective agreement that some of them are nice, and some of them are responsive to a stakeholder, potentially in the collective summation of all these things. They really don't make difference other than the relationship between and the responsiveness of the commission. And we need to do a good, better job. I've watched in many cases where we should have probably said, we understand what this person's interest is, but this affects 2 miles and an angling preference that is in a bigger scope of things, either not enforceable or not a real priority for the time of the commission or the resource. And that went out.
That's well said. And Sonky, and Gary, one of the things, in fact, Adriana and John, those of us who were involved in the Marine Subcommittee side of things, we initially, a little while ago, started talking about changing the process of the committee itself.
Right.
Making the committee more efficient, less of a stand-up presentation thing, more of a dialogue so that more information flow can go back and forth. It strikes me that one of the benefits of that is that staff time, whether it's a Fish and Game Commission staff or department staff, is lessened when you do that, because you can have an opportunity. You don't have to make a formal presentation. You're not talking about a PowerPoint deal. We're talking about being able to sit down with constituents and stakeholders and talk about issues. And that's a different, I think it's a far more efficient way to get information passed back and forth. It's less threatening.
That's how Al Tauscher does it, They have stakeholders.
Yeah, it's more open. It's just a better way to do it. So anyway, that's what we would like to do, and we don't, and we'll bumble along in kind of making that work and not work. But I suspect within a couple of meetings we'll have that down to where it's a much more collegial atmosphere where you can sit down and everyone understands that you can you, you know, reasonable people can differ, and we'll just kind of get it done better.
And I think that's fantastic, because in the Altosha, one of its strengths is that's exactly the forum that Mr. Flores has provided there, because 90% of the issues are usually misunderstandings.
Right. Yeah.
And when you have that dialogue, you quickly realize, you mean you aren't doing that?
Right.
No, we're not.
And like,
conversely,
well, I've started patterning my life after Michael Flores.
No. But the committee is good.
So this is only one small manifestation.
But the committee really is good, Mr. Rogers, because I've watched participants, and instead of having to go to staff, the chair of Altosha, whether it be Mr. Flores or Mr. Keller or whoever was there, could actually ask people who are involved the answer, and they get it, and they don't have to then assign it stuff. But the way the Marine Subcommittee's been set up, it's like someone comes before them, they testify, they go away, and then you have to ask staff what's going on. So
as of the
I want someone just sitting on the table.
We're not going to be doing that.
Have real folks sitting at the table.
We'll have to figure out exactly how we're going to organize that, but we're not going to be making presentations. We're going to be discussing issues.
And we're actually we're going to sit down with the two of you later today to discuss the Marine Subcommittee.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So.
Yeah. No, I realize that. And what we can do is come up with some protocol. But we also need to get that out to the stakeholders so that the stakeholders will understand that. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Okay.
One thing that I'd like to know if the commission would be interested in at a future meeting. John Fisher is willing to give a presentation to the commissioners, giving some background on rulemaking package process. It's this Office of Administrative Law process is fairly cumbersome, and we could give a 5 to 10 minute PowerPoint to give you some background on what is involved in that and how we plug into it.
That's great.
I think maybe just the workload, the regulatory workload, can be easily described. And then maybe how these regulatory packages originated, going back a couple of years. How many of them were, let's say, public-generated? How many of them were commission-generated based on code? How many of them were department-generated based on code? The mammal regulations, the waterfowl regulations have to be done every year based on code. So department-generated based on code. And so on down the line. And maybe that would be helpful to you. And if that will, then we can devote some time and effort to putting
that. I think that is
with myself being new, when I hear from staff that this only represents about 30% of the workload in the last couple of years, I'd like to get a little flavor of what the other 70% is. Just some examples so that everyone kind of has an understanding of that too. So maybe fold a little bit of that in just so that we can...
Where that 70% comes from.
Right.
Yeah,
not a line-by-line description, but just
quite a bit of an exception would be these extraordinary circumstances like emergency rules and
new authorities from the legislature.
And the
mandates.
Dear people as they are, they keep thinking of these new laws.
Is that where a lot of them come from?
Yeah.
Is that where a lot of them come from? Like of the 70%, would you say they come from the legislature?
Some of them come from legislature or statute, and some of them are emergency action.
Sure, we just find out about them, obviously.
A year ago, we didn't know that there was going to be some emergency action on sturgeon, necessarily.
Sure.
I mean, before us.
And look at the front page of the paper today.
And threatened and endangered species.
And teeny species, you bet.
That's a lot of work that's unanticipated.
The Vegemite banned salmon fishing.
Okay.
Yes, John, in answer to you, I think that's a good request that we get that presentation from John, and if the rest of the commission doesn't want it,
I want it.
Brian? On the issue of statutory obligations and what the bill, we do bill analysis, they go through, they're signed, and in many cases, I get like your sense, because in many of these arenas, we try to, in our legislative affairs process, suggests that the appropriate body for getting to the nuts and bolts and the details in the regulatory process is, in fact, the commission, versus having, in many cases, the regulatory standards set in statute, which then in turn requires change in the legislature. So we have, I think, and we have right now...
We have some right now.
65 bills that we're analyzing with the two staff, three staff that work on it. It goes to the entire department.
65.
We carry the highest, I think, workload by department
and Resources Agency, maybe second. But the point is in most of those, we try to craft, and these are important because they're legislative proposals that have, you know, intended, you know, economic, social, environmental outcomes. And in many cases, we put, when it's in our arena, the commission as the regulatory body to do that. So we can meter that somewhat, but the alternatives there, the alternatives are either trying to work out the details in legislation, which is sometimes very problematic, or even we don't want to live with, or continue to highlight that for each one, and we are doing this, for every one of these statutes that's got an intention that it goes to the commission, that there is a workload and a cost and a timeline associated with that's very substantial. So every year you have a legislative signing, and every year you accumulate a new series of obligations on the commission that go back to not 1870, but damn near. So at some point we'll have a ledge briefing and let you not talk just about the legislation. We typically brief you on just what the legislation is, but I'd like some open dialogue about what role you think is appropriate to continue. Because we're pushing, in many cases, that the commission be the body that gets to the nuts and bolts and the detail and the statute. But that puts an obligation on the commission, and it puts an obligation on the department, and almost all these bills say no additional cost incurred.
Of course. Of course.
Unfunded.
Commission, profiles encouraged.
And the bottom line, over the last 10 years, that wisdom of having the commission be the right body has been, unfortunately, for workload reasons, successful. I mean, you have tremendous more authority than you did 10 years ago. You're managing most of the commercial fisheries. Yet we have received no additional staffing or funds to help do that. And that's why we're here, actually. Because
it's one of the reasons why we need to go after the restricted entry fisheries issue, because of the nature of that authority and responsibility that we hold in a lot of those fisheries restricted entry.
I thought you were going to say it's one reason we need to go after additional funding sources.
Well, of course.
That's the number one.
Why don't we do a priority of how do we get more money?
That's number three on your agenda.
Why don't I go see it?
All right. Are we ready to roll into item number two?
Oh, where are we?
Okay. Yes,
Doc, are there any other big issues that I know restricted access is one. Abalone is a potential other that's kind of lurking around.
The commission launched that ship, and we, as you got an update at the meeting last week,
that has
gave
a
you
timeline.
That's,
you weren't there when the timeline was presented.
But that's
she's,
one that commission
she's learning to be a leader.
That's right.
That's one from our view. The commission's already made a decision on, and we launched.
We're,
and by the way, it is we've got a lot of staff devoted to making this work, and it's wonderful. I think it's a great model. But I want to use that this as an opportunity to point out that the other thing that's changed, for the better, I think, is the expectation of the public to be more involved in the management and decision-making processes is added work. It's good work, but this Abalone, the San Miguel Island plan, I think will be a very excellent role model. The problem is it's going to be a lot more intensive than previous efforts on doing something like this.
So I know, Sunky, and I, in one sense, am immensely proud of the effort of the department and the stakeholders. But I also understand how difficult it's going to be, particularly in this first iteration.
Yes.
The role model is always the difficult.
And it's also
one.
The less efficient one.
It is, and we'll learn a lot from it, et cetera. But as we all know, and this I keep delivering this message, and pardon me for being a repetitive thing here, but boy, if we can perfect this, given our regulatory environment and the lack of funds that are attendance to those regulations or laws that keep coming down from the legislature, that's our only salvation. I don't see how you get out from under it. We just got to figure out how to do that and do that really well. Because there are lots of very well-intended, very well-informed civilians out there who know a lot about the resources. And if we can get them over onto our protocols, our biological and regulatory protocols, have them buy into that and understand that, boy, we have a long way ahead. But ginning this up is going to take a lot of effort.
And we will be coming back to
as our updates, formal, on kind of a full sense of what it took to do this.
And I understand that. And to me, this effort is kind of like planning. You know, it takes a lot of time to plan, but boy, does it pay off in the long run.
Yeah, and we're going through some attitude adjustments also internally on how we do business.
I have noticed that, you know, comments in the newspaper notwithstanding.
We are learning.
I've noticed that. Right. I wear Kevlar in certain places.
We bought one of those this weekend.
Right.
And then Bob.
I know you want to go on to other issues, but just in terms of the issue of the unanticipated, there's some that can be anticipated or put in the category of foreseeable. I just flagged them, not for discussion, but just reality is what we see coming in. The pelagic organism decline in the Delta, the spinoff of that, I just received an email that notice petition to take Delta smelt from threatened to endangered under the federal status has been petitioned by Coalition of Environmental Groups and Center for Biological Diversity. That may spin to an interest or request for the commission on Delta smelt. We have it as threatened under CESA. More problematically, potentially, is we also have a longfin species that is declined, that is not listed either under state or federal law. That may be petitioned, and I'm saying that this is not forecasting, but just those that have had a lot of attention lately within this year. I don't know what the implications will be, but we're doing an awful lot of work with Fish and Wildlife Service and the Pacific Council, Flyway Council, and others as it relates to the avian influenza. And there's a migratory bird component. I think the mechanical wings will probably get it here faster than the migratory wings, but it is a true issue. No, and I'm not referring to rubber duck. I expect we will have the next iteration still next year of West Nile. It's pretty significant, and these are all issues that may come to the commission. The reason I raise them, not because you're going to be the war bearer of the solution on all of this, but people will, there are collateral issues as it relates to hunting schedules, management of wildlife areas, certainly the necessary petition review process, the same staff, you get the general sense. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's just literally this morning's top five list.
Yeah, and for, I'm sure everyone fully appreciates, of all of those that you listed, the pelagic decline in the Delta is also driven by massive, let's screw the South water supply politics. So, I mean, whether or not it has biological foundation or not, that's going to be really big time politics.
And you have some bond discussions.
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. President.
We do.
I just needed some clarification on your discussion regarding restricted access policy and the discussion at the Marine subcommittee level. The commission at its November and December meetings took action to authorize its intent to amend the SQUID regulations regarding certain permits within the SQUID fishery. At your February meeting, I was tasked to look at where we go with the SQUID regulation, so I just wondered if I am to pursue that or wait until we have the discussion at the Marine Subcommittee on restricted access to continue work on SQUID.
That is a good point.
Well, yeah, and that's when, well, yeah. But that's what, no, I'm just thinking, that's what triggered the discussion of we need to have a look at all restricted access
right.
fisheries, and we were doing them piecemeal, and you were going forward based on our decision making to solve that specific problem. If it's solvable, maybe we don't have to bring it to the Marine Subcommittee. But raising those same issues,
we need to go to the Marine Subcommittee first anyway.
No,
because
we tasked them to come back to us with a regulatory package after working with people. But what I'm thinking is. Is it? No, didn't we? I mean,
referred it to subcommittee.
It was referred to the
okay.
at the last
referred it to Marine.
Okay,
Mr. Trainer wasn't at the last meeting when you That was when you...
No, we did. Okay, I didn't... That's...
Or I'm sorry, squid package, but...
Right.
So...
Yeah, but Mr. Traynor is bringing up an incredibly important point. You know, here we go again messing around with one aspect of restricted entry fishery, when in fact what we really need to do is look at the entire...
Right, and not messing around. That's how we had been doing it up till now. But then the questions also started coming. We need real policies. Let's look at this someplace. And we're either going to do it commission-wide, and now we decided to do it through the Marine Subcommittee.
Yeah, and so, my only thought on that is this is, again, all about restricted access. So in that context, I think it needs to be dealt with in the subcommittee.
Yeah.
However, like I mentioned earlier, at the subcommittee, there are some real problems that we may want to fix earlier than later on SWID.
Yep.
And there may be others we want to wait and put in a bigger context of a fix. But I think you first need to have this debate, as you like to say, in the subcommittee.
Yeah,
so
and
we can
talk
that
about
out.
That this afternoon in the subcommittee meeting.
Well, it's actually this afternoon's a staff briefing.
Or staff, excuse me, in a staff briefing.
Discussion.
Right. Yeah, it's just
internal
a staff. That's right, it's just an internal staff briefing.
It hasn't been subcommittee, you have to get approved.
That's right.
So I guess the answer is we'll get back.
You're in limbo. The
answer to the trainer.
Right.
Checks in the window.
Okay. All right, moving along. Item number 2, command and control issues.
I don't know what that means.
Well, Mr. Raj, Commissioner Raj is going to speak to that.
I do.
I got an emergency.
Can we just take that 2 minute break?
Sure. We'll take a.
No, we'll get command.
We'll be back at 10. We'll
command and control our kidneys.
Breaking.
Well, so fast.
Taking
advantage of that.
Oops.
Hang on.
They haven't released an agenda yet for anyone.
Oh, my phone's coming down. So
okay.
We're on.
We're live.
Y'all get approved.
We on the record?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Rogers.
Can I make one quick announcement?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. I'd just like to let the public audience know that we would like their speaker cards in by 11:30 so we can decide how much time we need to put in for public comment. So please turn those in by 11:30.
Yes, we're going to adjourn by noon. So
yeah, 12 o'clock sharp.
Who's collecting?
Thank you.
This second budget item was put on budget item because I'm focused on the third item. This second item was put on at my behest, and I would like to withdraw it given the time constraints.
Okay.
We have way too much to discuss on item number 3. And then take public commentary. So I will bring this up at another time.
Okay.
So I still don't know what command and control is. You'll have to tell me later.
I know. Okay, that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about.
I mean, because you're a graduate of the Naval Academy,
you're not a work in progress.
Okay.
Listen, I'm a ring knocker.
Item number 3, Fish and Game Commission budget issues.
Okay.
I can.
That's easy. How do we get more?
What I would like to point out, the handout that everyone has at the table here has a summary of Attorney General expenses for the commission and a summary of our annual operating budget.
Are we over budget? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but there's some explanation. There's a caveat on that. And
what's the caveat?
The caveat is that we do not have a specific line item in the department's budget.
Okay.
We are rolled into distributed admin in the department. I'll let them speak when I'm done here. That third page that shows that our projection is that at the end of the year will be $109,000 in the red. That is a projection, and that is based on our expectation of Attorney General fees. So if you look at the second page, it kind of gives you a rundown on how much we have paid to the Attorney General's office for attorney services over the last couple of years.
So I terminate. I move to terminate Bill Cunningham's services.
And you know, and I talked to Bill this morning, and he wasn't going to be present, but he's available by phone. So he's billing us right now because no, I'm just kidding. This, just to point out, in all fairness to Bill, on the summary of Attorney General expenses, you'll see we broke it down by lawsuit, representation, general advice, and permit hearings. There's been some assumptions that you know, Bill is really the one that drives this permit hearing. The permit hearings are just a fraction of the total. The lawsuits that the commission is named in, whenever that happens, the Attorney General's office assigns an attorney. Often it's not Bill Cunningham. And then staff works directly with them, and they bill us accordingly. So you can see it fluctuates depending on our lawsuit load. The permit hearings are fairly stable. General advice in 03, 04 was 65,000. 04, 05, 65,000.
What does general advice mean?
I am assuming that anytime we call them. No, well, yes. Would that be our meetings also? Part of the meetings and representation at the meetings, and then whenever we call any of the attorneys.
Well, do I also understand that permit hearing should be lower this year if, in fact, we have sort of an understanding as to what we don't want to bring to a permit hearing, you know, that maybe we can solve some things at the field level?
Yeah, and we have this consultant now that can take care of that.
Not
yet?
You have a consulting contract.
Interject here for a moment? Ryan wanted to go first. Sorry, miss.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I think this begs a bigger question. We have all talked about having our own budget. And one of the things we might consider, if we have our own budget, you know, that we have our own full-time general counsel, as many agencies do, as other commissions do. You know, I'd like to throw that out there. And does the commission still want to move in that direction of getting some autonomy with respect to this?
Can I make a few other clarifying comments?
I was just going right for the meat.
Sure.
That was
one more thing.
Sort of the periphery type.
Well,
stuff.
And one thing that to keep in mind when you're deliberating what Michael has just requested, the commission has not, to my knowledge, done a workload audit or a detailed description of what its costs would be and staffing required to do the work. I mean, right now we know the staff is taxed. The staff is working extra time just to keep from going under. And basically, if we do go forward with trying to get our own budget, we're going to need a full audit, a workload audit, and we're going to need some. We want to be really careful we don't sell ourselves short. That's
absolutely. I mean, you're looking at it somewhere probably close to about $1.8 million budget at minimum, I would think, based on what I know and see and, you know, the sort of shops that I've run. I wouldn't certainly sell yourself short. I would try to go for the gusto as much as we can.
From this commissioner's perspective, answering your question, I don't understand why this commission doesn't have its own budget. It should have its own budget for a whole host of reasons. But I'm a neophyte with respect to how one gets budgets out of these guys who don't want to give you any money anyway. So, I mean, I am 1,000% behind working towards getting that autonomy so that we can do the things that we know and focus biologists on being biologists and not I know, for all those reasons that we have gone through so many times, it seems like exactly the right thing to do. By my way of thinking.
Well, I have, Jim, you mentioned something about legislature. I have members that are ready to carry legislation to help us out. So, I mean, we have some sympathetic ears over there in the building.
Well, I for one, would be if that's true, since I'm patterning my life after you, it must be. if that's true, I mean, what are we waiting for? I mean, I think we really
can. Go ahead. Ryan, sorry, Ryan.
To put in context, this is, as John said, it's taken out of distributed admin now. So when I go through a general reduction exercise, which we do on a routine basis, and when I have people come to me and negotiate and say, well, we really want to be a partner with you on this, but we can't take your, we don't want to pay, I can't justify to my contributors your overhead. So every time I make a negotiation, internally or externally, that adjusts overhead, it's a zero-sum game. It goes someplace else. And when you look at your budget, and I think the point that your executive director raised was that
this is what's budgeted on distributed ad, and it's paid out of a distributed admin, so it comes from all programs and all funds. It doesn't necessarily refer to actual cost,
right,
as the president referenced. And we talked about in the last 10 years, the large increase in statutory delegation to the commission to adopt regulations. I think we've committed, and government in general has committed, to very much more of a transparent, and they're much more complicated issues than they were 40 years ago or 20 years ago. And every one of those meetings and every one of those obligations adds an additional cost. And so when you look at these numbers, number one, the litigation, it goes back to 2004. We have a court case starting Friday related to the coho salmon listing. So the potential, I can tell you that I signed settlement agreements on a too frequent basis that are rarely less than $100,000 to dispose of litigation settlement negotiations. None of that is budgeted. So once again, it comes back off programs. The emergencies that we have, such as last year when we had to do, response to West Nile, it was building in the summer. When I have a levee that goes out and I need, even under a federal declaration where there's a 25% cost share, none of that, those are exigencies that are not budgeted for. So having a workload-based cost and an acceptance that a lot of what the commission does, it's all in the public interest, not driven just by the hunting and fishing regulation process. That has become probably relatively modest in comparison to the other issues you deal with. And that's not reflected in the current financing of the commission or the department, and it does not provide me a lot of latitude in terms of shifting money or personnel to the commission, as deserving as it is, because I'm typically in a contingency mode where I'm accepting the litigation costs and settlement costs or exigencies of our stewardship on lands, and it's
important. Is it true that from a political perspective, it might be advantageous then to have the legislature focus on these things, a lot of which are not in your budget, in the department's budget, but really are things that we have to do, and therefore put those in a budget for the commission itself? In other words, have whoever is writing the legislation actually be focused on what Ryan's talking about here.
Well, we have not had, I think there's some discussion and some draft legislation that references the commission that doesn't go to this detail at all. It's just released as more of an omnibus bill discussion that it's still in very formative stages. But it's, we've raised the issue. We've talked about the actual cost, and I think the $172 million is probably a lot more reflective. But that's going to be a zero-sum game again when we deal with the budget. I mean, we've got the governor's budget has been submitted. It is in discussions, and hearings have been scheduled. So if we're going to do this, it needs to have a strategy driven by the commission. Mm-hmm. And you all know that when it comes to legislative packages, I have no position until the position is approved by the governor's office. That's just a fact of luck. Anyway, I guess my main point was litigation costs float and increase. Yeah. Part of parcel to a bigger litigation we deal with, and back to John's comment, an honest reflection of the cost of the good work that the commission does is in order.
One other comment I'd like to make. The department has gone through cost-cutting exercises several in the last 5-6 years. The budget has dramatically dropped. Their staffing has dramatically dropped. In those last 5 to 6 years, my understanding is the commission budget and staffing has not dropped equivalently across the board as the department. For the record, right, so that the department has lost about 25% of its staff, commission staff.
So what are you suggesting?
I'm just saying the department's been good for success. I just want to put that on the record. I just want to put that on the record. And I know that not all the commissioners have an understanding of how we fit within the distributed admin. I just want to say
that. I understand that.
On that same flip, and not to I don't want to draw too much attention, but the commission has submitted BCPs for additional positions for many years, far before this administration, that haven't been that were denied, and that were to account for the increase in authority and workload.
Right.
So though the budget hasn't decreased, our positions have not adequately increased, and the rank of
the workload.
Right. So though we haven't been cut down, and the organization of the commission staff needs to be reevaluated.
So the way to solve this, then, somebody carrying a bill?
Well, can I just ask a couple technical questions on the budget? On the DFG projection versus the Fish and Game Commission projection columns, can I just understand a little more about there's some differences there?
Yeah, like
one's real and one's not.
And maybe somewhere in the middle is going to be right, but there's
the department puts its projections based on our expenditures. So, for instance, they're going to look at our out-of-state travel, and they're going to say, you spent this much in 3 months, so we're going to multiply that by four or some figure,
okay.
Which isn't accurate. So I can look and say, no, we're not doing any more out-of-state travel this year. It's staying the same. So their projections are based on
trend.
Less
trend. And Sherry is really good at keeping, you know, a tighter track on that. And those are her numbers she generated.
Okay.
Based on her budget.
Okay. And on the personnel services.
I'm starting to get upset. I haven't gone out of state. Dang.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to do that.
Dang.
On the personnel services.
According to this, you got the budget plan.
That's again based on staffing levels and then trended out.
Raises.
No, what you have here, just to explain this in full, under personal services, the allotment is under our internal budget, department's budget. That is the authority that the commission has been granted to spend on personal services.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The department's projection is based on spending trends, and that's just a simple way we try and project. The Fish and Game Commission projections, I'm assuming, is what the commission believes it'll actually spend on personal services, and it's overspending that.
By $66,000.
Yeah. Okay. That's all that says.
Okay.
And it's not. And I don't know the reason, but that's just figures.
And can anyone explain the reason?
I'm just wondering, because we run a deficit government, why does it matter that we overspent $60,000?
I can explain.
Thank you.
Because
I'm just wondering, Ryan
is personally responsible for the department's budget.
Okay, and they beat you.
Well, no, actually,
there's actually some statute.
Both of the Department of Finances, it says that the director over expenses his budget, even those were revenues, that he's personally liable for those expenditures.
God,
that
personally. Okay.
They get about $50,000 out of my total assets.
Okay, I understand now. I just had to ask. You know,
so I ask your question. So, still, why do we care?
Right.
I'm glad I didn't say that.
To be fair, I mean, or to give the context, I mean,
I just thought you might have general fund, and you know,
we have budget challenges all over. This is just a small part of the department's issues. The point is, it all adds up.
Got it.
The department has always covered any over expenditures on the commission. That's always been part of our job to handle.
And that's one of the questions I have about us creating our own budget. I mean, yes, we need to create our own budget. I think eventually, no doubt about it. But creating that budget in a real time, real space, real world way. Do we get more bang from the buck from the department than we would with our own or not? I just don't know that. And that analysis would have to be done in a whole... That needs to be done. I mean, I'm personally thinking we need to eventually move towards a commission budget with additional regulatory staff so biologists can be biologists, and the whole issue, maybe even our own general counsel. But, boy...
How about our own staff scientists?
I don't even know. I'm just saying, maybe... Do we need that? I don't know that yet. See, I think, that's a real complicated issue, because does that just mean the legislature takes it out of your budget, gives it to us, and it's the same zero-sum gain, or who knows if that's what goes on?
Well, I think that's the big question.
That's probably
what will happen. This is what our law.
No, that's
is.
What would happen
right.
At this point, unless we have some legislators who get educated and say there's two different things going on here.
So having moaned and complained about this, what are we going to do?
I mean, okay. I can support going for our own budget, but it has to be with funds that make up that workload.
Well, it goes back to what was suggested. You know, it's actually doing a contemporaneous analysis of exactly what it is that
and it means new revenue,
which hasn't been done.
It means new revenue.
Oh, sure. And we have the which budget. We have a
contingent on.
We have an analysis out there that shows us taking on the regulatory staff.
We have a rough guess
right.
of what that would cost, and that came to something like $2 million.
Right.
It. I have to qualify that.
Encompassed the rest of the staff's budget as well, right?
I believe so. It was something like 2.2 million.
That was current staff plus the proposal for a regulatory unit within the
That's what I thought.
I have to qualify that by going back to what Mr. Carlson said earlier. There needs to be an audit, a workload audit of this, and this was not based on a workload audit. That needs to occur.
One thing that I would caution everyone on, if we went down the road and had a legislatively mandated budget for the commission, I guess the question I would pose, if the commission then overran that budget, who would be personally responsible? I'm just asking.
Hey, I got
nothing.
What kind of car are you driving?
It's pretty old. Well, it was old. But that's a real concern of staff that if we go down this road, we want to be extremely well.
Well, look, it's just like not, it's like running any organization or running any agency.
It's just the way
it's you know, you're held accountable and responsible for. And I would assume that if we went over budget, the legislature would call me and you in there if I was sitting president, and they'd want to know what the heck's going on. And we'd have to come to some sort of term.
Sure. There are other boards and commissions that are structured similarly to the commission in that they set regulation for a department or an agency. So we can look at those types of funding sources and their additional revenues and model the request or proposal after that.
Well, it's an interesting... I mean, John knows because he was at the meeting with staffers last week, but when I interviewed with the Senate Rules Committee staff, that was a big question related to the independence of the commission from the department, and there were a lot of questions about that. And, you know, so obviously I felt there was sympathy to supporting us, but at what price, and where are the new revenues coming from? And I think they have to come from exterior to the department. It has to be additional revenue to both.
And this isn't this year's solution, though.
I think what you're doing is you're trying to relate your experience in the department with that. Some of it I agree, but you know, you take a small organization that has a $1.8 million budget and you make them make the sort of cuts that some of the large agencies have to do, you're going to cripple it. Is that really what the legislature is going to want, or is finance?
Yeah.
They're going to take those things into consideration.
Yep.
It's not... What I'm trying to tell you is don't be afraid to move in this direction. It's not... I know you're new to it, but it's not that big of a job.
I've spent my entire professional career running a for-profit organization that has, if you have to turn the lights out, if there isn't enough money to keep them on, you turn the lights out. I mean, but it's just something that you do.
I don't have a problem with a surplus with every year. I was able to revert funds back in, and it's just I ran it in a certain way. Commissioner Kellogg.
I chaired a commission that had its own budget, and one of the deals that you have to be before the Senate Budget Committee every year and explain your budget, and you're either high or low, and why. And that's the same thing that would happen to us.
Yep. Sure.
It's
like he's had a sandal.
I just wanted to... The good news is we've been thinking about this for quite some time.
Right.
And actually, Mr. Traynor, in his former capacity, and the department actually drafted a couple of concepts, and one of them was actually fleshed out by the commission that actually looked at this roles and responsibilities in a budget. So this is not a new issue. It's something that we keep bringing up. I think it's something that deserves further debate, and obviously the commission is probably going to have to take the lead role in any debate.
That's my question, though. If we're going to develop the concept of going to the legislature with our own budget, do we have to
take department staff away from what they're doing to help us develop it? I mean, I wouldn't know how to develop
our budget.
I know. What I'm saying is, who's going to develop our budget? A department, I mean, commission staff.
I think we need to hire an audit, a consulting company to audit it.
No, no, I'm okay with that. I'm just wondering who we asked to do that, and we do it.
And the other concern is that is a long-term goal.
Yeah, it's like a couple of years.
And it doesn't address some real issues that we have now. So
that's my point.
Yeah, I mean, this is it could be a long process in securing our own budget, right, Michael? Through the legislature?
Well, no.
Potentially?
Next year.
You could get a bill. You could get it done this year. You could.
Except we'd have to have all those analyses in place, I would think, in order to have...
Well, I'm not so certain that we need to have all those analyses in place in order to justify it to the legislature.
No, probably not.
I mean, we can take a look at what we've done in the past and to talk about where it is that we want to go in terms of expanding staff. Do we want to take on that responsibility? Do we want to take the general counsel out of attorney general's office and have our own? Do we want our own in-house biology scientists to help analyze these proposals that come forward? So because we have all these different opinions, and we're always grappling with, okay, well, who do we believe here? So, I mean, those are the sort of things. We got to figure out what we want to design conceptually, how we want it to look. And
I think
it's
worth our time, the commission's time, to address this. Mm-hmm. I really do.
And it's going to be a large commitment on the part of the commissioners,
really
because you all are going to have to walk the halls and lobby. So, I mean, that's going to take real time on your part.
But if the commissioners can't do that, we got the wrong commissioners.
Right, and let me clarify, rank and file employees cannot do that.
We know that.
No, we're not.
I just want to be clear that there are certain things we can help you with, and
I understand that.
But looking at the existing budget, where we're at today, and looking and discussing, even contemplating outside consulting firm to come in, how do we do that in light of what I see as a deficit?
Well, I think we have an in-house consultant.
Well,
Also,
we may not have to do that to in order to pass. What we need to do is scope this thing, the extent to which we need to do all of this kind of stuff in order to get a legislative proposal to someone. We probably have to talk to their legislative analyst or whomsoever, whatever member. And what are the thresholds of information that they need? You know, we'll provide that.
Yes, and I would ask that roles and responsibilities are vital. For example, this budget does not even come close to reflect the cost of maintaining the commission. These only reflect your direct costs. For example, whenever you fly the department's plane, that doesn't come out of your budget.
Right.
There's a whole list of those things. Mm-hmm. Your security here.
Well, no, I thought that was going to become our plane.
Yeah. Whatever
you
want.
We might work a deal.
She's a very expensive
You're ready
ship.
To surf on my equipment there.
The point is, this does not reflect what it actually costs to run the commission. So
no.
Yeah. I mean,
equipment.
That's why you're good. You got the money.
Yeah.
Okay. See, right now we rely on the kindness of strangers. You know, I mean, that's what we do.
Just, it's very important that you make it very clear what roles and responsibilities.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
Otherwise, it'll be impossible to really look at this honestly.
So I have a question. Until and if we have a commission budget, let's be realistic here. We have a budget that the governor is just announcing that won't take care of our needs. It's not anybody's fault, other than we're in a year where there's, and I don't mean that as a negative political statement against the governor, I really don't, but the problem that the department has is, until the governor tells them what they're for, they can't do anything else. And once they're told what they're for, that's the budget. They're going to have to smile and say thank you. But why can't we, as a commission, go to the legislature, and I've been saying this for 2 years, and it makes those folks nervous, so they don't have to respond to this, but my commissioners can, and would say, since we have to depend on the budget of the Fish and Game Department, because we have none of our own, we need to fight for more money for them, because we can't function and do the things we need to do that you've mandated us to do through, you know, legislation or making us do regulatory packages, because you, the legislature, have asked us to do things and you don't give the department enough money to do them. That affects us, the public, and your credibility. So I want to lobby for more money for the department, whether the governor tells them they can't or not. Okay, I want to go to, you know, John Laird at the, you know, budget committee and Sheila Kuehl and people I know and say, you need to give the department more money because we can't get this stuff
You're
done.
Absolutely right.
And but they can't be involved in that. That's absolutely verboten. I understand that. But we the commission,
could.
No, we can't even talk about it to them probably because they'll tell us no. The governors would say no to that, and I understand that. But since we are dependent on the kindness of strangers, we have to help these strangers, you know, get enough money to take care of the stuff we need to do until we get our own budget. And I just think
That's
we have
right.
to commit to doing that, you know.
Commissioner Hattori keeps trying to make one of us Blanche Dubois.
No. Yes, as long as I have these two hands, I'll never be hungry again. Okay,
there we go.
Don't turn me into, you know, what I can do. But the point is, I mean, as commissioners, I don't know why we can't go to individual legislators or committee people and help the department out a little, whether they are allowed to be helped out by the governor's
office
or not.
The department needs to ask us for that.
They can't. They can't. The governors will tell them what they can accept and not accept. Then we'll have to look in a clever way of where we think we can help them. And I'm just for that.
You can't ask us for help.
Well, I think at the Altasher, is it correct?
What's that?
I've taken this issue before, folks.
The next Altasher committee is going to have a budget review of the department, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
That's overall. That's
and
overall.
I did get a lot of information from the department from the last one. And I would hope to be able to attend that meeting as well, because certainly then once the commissioners see the budget, see and ask the types of questions we would need to ask, then I think it's appropriate. I don't feel educated enough
no,
to walk
no.
across the street
no,
and
no,
say...
No, not now. But they can't tell us to ask for more.
Right, right.
And I've had legislators who are on the appropriate committees say to me, why aren't they asking for more? And they can't. So this is the governor that said no to this issue, on, especially on cutting off wardens. Remember, that was a big issue that the LA Times even reported on. So I'm just saying, as commissioners, we're going to have to be clever, look at the budget, and see where we can help, whether, quite frankly, the governor's office wants us to or not. We're independently appointed. Don't work for the department, and don't have to follow his budget rules.
And there are certain things your staff can help you with in that, as far as education of budget process and things like, you know, but there's a line that we have to be wary of. So what that means to you is that that's going
to
set you free, and you're going to need some initiative
to
go do that.
Yep. Yeah. But I need to make sure we all agree on one or two or three things that we want to do. We can't go ask for 10, you know.
Were there other items directly related to this budget, John, that we needed to talk about? I mean, I thought we had talked a little bit about scheduling of meetings and that sort of thing and travel because we're in a deficit situation right now. I mean, was that something that we needed to discuss today? Or
I think the context there is just recognize that meetings, special meetings, all cost money. I mean, they're important, but each additional meeting you throw in the pile, if you actually sum up the costs, our presence.
Oh, okay,
right.
So MLPA, no, is that?
No, I'm
sorry. That's the point.
No, but I'm looking at this like the travel
that's
is what matters. How do we get the AG cost down? I mean, it's overwhelmingly the biggest.
Those are the costs out of your control. What you can control are these other items.
But those aren't costing us negative impact.
For example, it probably is cheaper, and I haven't penciled up, but it makes more sense. It's cheaper to hold a 3-day meeting than 2 4-day meetings.
Exactly.
Well, that's what we just discussed.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So in that context, we're since you're in our budget, we're just asking that you be mindful
and
think about efficient ways to do it.
Yeah, and when we're looking at the Marine Subcommittee meetings and where we schedule those.
Yep.
And
Bucky,
if we have some clear, and I know we've talked about this in the past, some clear lines as to when we meet a threshold for saving money with things like the state plane, it would be helpful for staff to know what it costs to run the plane so that if it saves money for us to fly commercially, we can do that.
We are now trying to provide you that information so it helps you make that decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
We actually have it.
And actually,
I would love it.
We also
yeah.
request that you fill out the back of the request form so that
yeah.
we know.
It's a request. That information's on the back that you need to fill out.
Okay.
We can work out that out.
Okay.
It's mostly just, you know, per diem and then staff time and all that. I mean, it's important. It's just
the plane's paid for.
No,
it isn't.
It's
cost.
Operating costs.
We just spend. I mean, operating costs. We're not. Okay.
Maintenance.
We hope they're maintaining it.
Okay. I understand that way.
As we board.
What I mean is, we're not buying a new plane and then paying our own, you know, part of that.
It's one of the reasons I fly commercial. Thank you very much, Southwest.
Hey, I love the department's plane.
I don't know.
It reminds me of a Tarzan movie. You know.
So relative to what we have presented in front of us, no immediate actions needed on the. On our part at this
except
point.
A dedication to forming our own,
yeah.
Right.
Our own thing.
Now is to where we head is if we need an outside consultant to look and do the workload audit and define the rules and responsibilities. We're not ready to do that now.
Well, we have an in-house consultant we can utilize.
Okay.
And I don't think you have to spend a whole bunch of money because I think before we spend a whole bunch of money figuring out how much money that we spend. I think we also need to scope what is necessary to, you know, get us past the bill threshold, whatever that is. And I don't personally know anything about that.
Well, I can tell you when we do a budget change proposal, the first starts concepts in the budget change proposal, and they are in great detail. The Department of Finance is the initial filter, and I know there's ways to avoid or to, you know, to help streamline the approval process. That booklet there is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of our budget hearing.
Right.
And a budget change, you're looking at, you know, concepts now. It wouldn't even be considered until next, you know, January in the governor's budget in a deliberation process. And for every document we submit to finance, we typically get 9 out of 10 rejected.
Right.
Because they're looking at the broad package of general financial constraints, which is what they do. So, it's a process.
Unless it was brought by a bill.
Yeah.
If it was brought by a bill, you shortcut.
Yeah. But if you look at the commissions and boards that are in existence, and this is anecdotal, but from my experience, that have had, you know, paid staff and commissioners even and significant income, that virtually all have been post-1990 boards and or commissions whose income is tied to a tipping fee of the landfill, an assessment on oil, mm-hmm. an assessment on a pesticide, which has been modest, or an assessment, some more contemporary nexus between what they do and it's very broad-based and what they spent. I mean,
we'll just get all the fishing lines.
And by the way, we should just know, just for the record of our own intelligence, there are groups out there that are thinking there needs to be a total rehaul, if you will, or of the commission, how it's appointed, what our qualifications are.
There are two bills out there currently.
Yeah, and there's a group of people that I know and you know that are putting together legislation that would possibly change the makeup of the commission, the years we serve, the fact that some of us might have to be marine biologists or scientists to actually get appointed. Actually, there'd be, you know, a slight salary, there'd be a budget. So, you know, we obviously need to develop our own package, but there might be competing packages out there within the next year or so that people who are concerned of what we're doing right or wrong, in their opinions, are trying to address. I mean, you know, and it's not just our budget, but our qualifications. Some people are appalled that we don't have to really know anything about fish and game to be appointed.
Well, all the more reason for us to get out ahead of this.
Sure. No, I agree with that. I'm just saying there are people out there doing their own proposals. So, you know.
Cindy, you had talked about a budget subcommittee. Help me out. Was that mainly focusing on fish and game budget, or would that hold something like this if we did a subcommittee on budget? I mean, is this something we want? How far do we want to take action right now? Do we want a subcommittee to start looking at it in more detail?
Well,
bring something,
you know, my sense was that without at least somewhere linked between the commission and the department is the knowledge base the commission must have of the department's budget. So I was focused more on understanding the department's budget and maybe subsequently taking those issues that we know are underfunded across the
and we'd have to prioritize them without any input from the department, wink, wink,
right,
and go help out, you know what I mean?
That was where I was headed, but certainly this would fall into that because understanding where, you know, what
our role is in the roles and responsibilities that Sophie's talking about, and what we take with us and what we don't if we were to do an independent. But, you know, I'm going back to item number one, which was workload planning and prioritization. Where does this fall? How important is this? I'm hearing, I think, from Michael that it's important.
It's
we should start moving now. And I can support that if staff thinks that they have the time and funds to at least start looking at this, because if we started now, we might be able to.
And don't we have a pretty good template with the one that you and Trainer put together? I mean, you guys have already done the basic sort of foundation.
I'm concerned that we're undercutting.
Yeah, don't you think?
That we're not accurately accounting for. Yeah, it's a patient.
And you go left, right, or right and left,
and
we'll know.
And is there a funding stream that we can tie an independent commission to?
So I think we're on our way there. We're on our way there, though, with the work that's been done between the department and
Trainer. If I could, since we have the ability and have an in-house consultant who has more institutional knowledge than most of us, ask staff and him to work together to come up with some of the stuff that you've done prior.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We have an annuity contract.
So annuity.
So make the annuity help us out. Yeah, help the have the annuity help us out.
I'm real bad at that.
Bob help us out.
Let's talk about Bob Trainer, right?
So that's what I would like to propose.
Okay.
And I certainly will spearhead it. And since I've had some contacts with some of the folks there and have done budgets. So
what that would probably mean as a result of that, then, that analysis and that work, we would probably have to hear that then at the commission.
I think we would have
to take action, or what do we have to do?
Appoint members of the commission as a subcommittee, and those that are interested, probably the first step would be to hear the department's budget discussion at the Tauscher meeting to give you a good basis to start with.
You know, the Tauscher meeting was one that we were talking about so far.
Yeah, I don't think it really that's the proper venue for it.
Okay.
Well, Cindy's indicated that she's interested in going to that.
I am, to Al Tauscher, but I'm kind of shaking my head about doing this year just because of the Marine subcommittee issues, and I'm thinking that my commitments are...
By the way, you can't go to Al Tauscher. They won't let you. Cunningham will tell you no.
You can't notice that as a.
It'd be a real meeting then. It wouldn't be Al Tauscher meeting anymore.
Notice.
It would be a commission meeting.
Okay.
And if it was a commission meeting then we could all go.
Two commissioners can go.
Okay.
I'm happy to offer individual briefings.
That might be important.
I think it's important for the whole commission to be presented with information of that nature, so that we're all working from the same knowledge base.
Yes.
John,
you're not needing
the budget. I want to hear the budget eventually. So how we can do that is either individually or notice a commission meeting.
Right.
Okay. I'll move forward with that. Cindy, Jim, everyone's okay with that?
Yep.
Okay.
And the annuity. I know, we've turned him into some strange bureaucrat that's called Bob Trainer.
And then we'll report back to you
on the
progress. When's our next hearing?
Monterey, early April.
Okay, just in April. With some ideas. Okay. Any other questions on this item?
I'll be right back.
Okay. Hearing then? Want to go to public forum, or do you want to go back to command and control?
No.
All right, we'll go back. I guess you have a few people that want to talk about the items that we've talked about today. And what are they on? Folks, you have 2 minutes apiece to talk.
And they have to speak
And they have to speak to these items. Okay, first
agenda
one's Virginia
item.
Hanley, followed by Eric Mills.
I didn't even know I put my card in.
Well, somebody...
Oh, you did.
Well,
I'm sorry, I filled it out, but I really
forged?
Wasn't going to put it
forged?
In because I don't really have
anything
to add, except that people do come to the commission to try to get action on things. If they don't feel they get the action, then they go to the legislature, and then you end up with it in your lap. anyway, so it's nice to have action as it comes up. And I get, and then of course, then you lose more control of it, and then you can't amend it, and all that. Thank you.
I don't have the budget to pay for it.
Followed by Diane.
Just a quickie. I was talking to Chief Foley a minute ago. Years ago, I saw a study in Missouri. They imposed a sales tax across the board on everybody, 0.1%, and raised millions of dollars for environmental protection. I think California sort of needs something like that with the diminishing number of hunters and fishermen, but simply can't afford to keep this thing going. I really commend the department and the commission, the Green Line over here, but I'm afraid we're going to lose it all with another 25 million people coming in here in the next 40 years. Water, habitat, wildlife are going to suffer tremendously. I think it's outrageous that the wardens aren't paid the full salary that a highway patrolman is. It'll be some serious funding. And if what the public gets for free, it doesn't take care of. If they had a vested financial interest in protecting the environment, I think they'd do a much better job of it. So, thank you.
If I may, your mentioning of Missouri. In Missouri, I don't know how much you guys know about that state, but they have one of the finest zoos in St. Louis, has one of the finest zoos in the world, the finest symphony in the world, the finest botanic garden in the United States, and number one or two in the world. And the reason was they did it all with taxes. And these people constantly get this huge stream of income, and it's dedicated to it, and that's how come it works. You're right. That's how come it works.
I sent the governor a slogan years ago for their license plates, Missouri Loves Company. They turned it down. I think we could follow their lead on that one.
Thank you, Eric. Diane, followed by Kevin Collins.
I just wanted to say, on behalf of CWPA, we very much appreciate your budget concerns, and we're here as an industry welcoming partnerships with you folks. We've already got a research program that we're working on in cooperation with the Department of Fish and Game. We're going to be having a workshop in engaging Dale Sweetnam and other biologists, developing a monitoring protocol for both the Channel Islands and the Central Coast for squid. And one of the things that we have been silent on as an industry, because we had not at this point had consensus among fishermen and processors, was this issue of the restricted access program for squid. And I spoke at length to Zonkey, and I've talked to some other folks as well. And in light of where this has gone and the elevation that it's taken to the commission, I've agreed to try and coordinate a meeting of the industry. And we were going to base it on Bob Trainer's analysis of when he's been tasked with looking at some of the objectives and some of the issues with regard to squid. And I'm not hearing today, I guess the question, and I went up to Bob after you had your little discussion, is Bob going to be doing that analysis anytime soon? Because that would really be helpful to me to take back to the industry the issues. These are alternatives, and trying to develop a consensus opinion between the processors and fishermen, which we initially had in the original squid FMP. The processors had agreed to a range of active boats in the number 65 to 75 for initial issuance. We're now above that in terms of the number of permits, but the question that we have is how many boats does that represent?
Right.
We've lost 4 boats this last season. We don't know who those folks are. I've begged and pleaded to the department to try and get a list of who are these permittees, and that's confidential information. So if there were any way that we could get a list of who the active participants are, it would be really helpful to us, because then we can identify when we have a processor who's looking for a boat, he could go to that person.
If I may, Diane, Dan raises very important questions. They are for the Marine Subcommittee, the way we have designated, the way we push this down. I think one of the very first agenda items for our next Marine Subcommittee is exactly this question, the extent to which Mr. Trainer is going to be doing that, and what he's going to be doing, and when that's going to be doing, because that is our workload. That is a great deal of our workload. We were charged by the commission to do that. We need to figure out. I think our next Marine Subcommittee meeting, probably a fairly hefty portion of it,
is going to be kind of like what we're doing here today, tasking and prioritizing and reorganizing. Adrian, I've kind of got the way we were talking about more efficiency. And then as a result of that meeting, I think I can speak for both of us that I could promise that we would in fact have clear direction right after that meeting with respect to the specific issue that you raised with Mr. Traynor, but hopefully in a broader context as well.
Because I think, you know, our group represents voters coming down the processors, and we do the majority of the industry. You know, we have a few small processors and a few fishermen that don't participate, but most of them do. And we are, you know, more than happy to try and work toward consensus outside the commission so that we can put an end to this.
Yeah, I sense an almost historical consensus coming from the industry, and I also sense almost historical public interest in public private partnerships. I think this may end up being very good. It may be very, very
good. Based on the commissioner's availability, we hope to have that meeting at the end of March.
Okay.
So
if you could let me know the date, place, time.
Oh yeah, no, it's just right here. We just have to figure out which one it is. So we're still it's gonna be a very important. It'll be in Santa Barbara, but we haven't figured out where it's going to be, what's going on.
Thank you.
You know, I can say on behalf of the industry, we support the split FMP.
No.
The major provisions of it. And some of these issues about how many boats should be in the fishery. I mean, basically, we cut the fleet in half already, but a lot of those were latent permits.
Thank you, Diane.
What we
Thanks.
Need to do is get to
Understand.
Kevin Collins, followed by Richard.
Can we switch, Kevin? We can get that
Richard, followed by Kevin.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, just briefly, relative to implementation of laws passed before 2005, I just wanted to emphasize the Section 2112 development for Coho. It's been about 2 years now. Plus, the Department and the Board of Forestry is reconsidering the threatened and impaired rules, which is your baseline for protection during the candidacy for Coho. And it's heavily controversial. There's a lot of pressures to reduce the buffers. Hope something substantive can come out of the joint meeting that you have with the board in Tahoe in May. And also, the Coho Recovery Team is meeting on the 28th, has had a conference call, and we're hoping, personally myself, to present a rules package to the Board of Forestry relative to monitoring prior to CDF sign-off in April. So I encourage effective moving forward.
If I may interject here, I've spent 6 years working with Richard Ginger and found a great deal of very good information and ideas from Mr. Ginger. So I would like us to pay attention to Richard's comments.
And the board's going to bring it to us in May because they're very concerned about how the industry has sort of walked away from the, as I heard from some of the members.
Well, they're contesting.
Yes, and so we might have to make it clear from both of us.
It's good to see you, Richard.
Yep.
It's been a long time.
It's good to be here and this room for a while.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is the Board of Forestry meeting downstairs?
Yeah.
I got to get down there and listen to that one for a minute.
Again, I want to make sure folks speak to the items that were on this agenda. We're going a little bit off track here. Kevin Collins, followed by Virginia.
Good morning. I'm on the Santa Cruz County Fish Game Advisory Commission, so I know a lot about the department. I know a lot of staff people in that part of California.
You said San Luis?
Santa Cruz. You were discussing the budget the entire time I was here. I was talking to John Laird about a year ago when he had a bill through both houses that would have added, I think, 19 staff people to the department. And I don't recall who let me know about this, but there was certainly frustration in his staff that there wasn't any advocacy on the part of, I guess, the commission, because I think I just heard that the staff isn't able to advocate.
That's correct.
Okay. So, anyway, he has, I think, another bill. So, certainly, going to the governor in support of Assemblyman Laird's efforts to rebuild the department would be very useful.
Sure. We'll look into that. And also, he wasn't just annoyed. He called me at home and said, why won't anybody from the department support the fact that I'm trying to give them 19 staff? And she goes, the governor doesn't want them to. And he said, well, then why don't you come and say that? And I said, I can't at the time. You know what I mean? So, but he's introducing a bill that's supposed to help out the department again.
Right.
And it'd be nice to be able to support a bill that helps out the department.
Sure.
I'm for that.
Hugh also.
And if I could just say one other thing, the issue of salaries for the wardens, I mean, one of them got shot in my district about 4 months ago, and the fact that they aren't, their salaries are far below that of an ordinary peace officer is a problem.
It's appalling.
Everything that's happening with wardens is appalling. I mean, not just what they do, what I mean is how they're treated. And, yeah.
Just a quick comment. Sorry I missed your earlier part of your discussion, but with regard to the discussion of your separate Fishing Game Commission budget, I just want to tell you that I've been surprised for 20 years and wondered why all those years I worked with the department and the commission, why there wasn't a separate budget for the commission. But I just wanted to point out that having your own separate budget is clearly not a panacea to your
Of course.
Money is tight, and what you do has support and opposition on every issue in the legislature, so there may not be a lot of enthusiasm for a separate budget. But I just want to point out, too, you are aware of the Wildlife Conservation Board, and WCB has had a separate budget for long before I got involved with this issue. And it's always been a surprise to me because WCB probably has less justification for a separate budget. They are created by statute and are explicitly in the statute created within the Department of Fish and Game, whereas you are creating the Constitution separate and distinct from the Department of Fish and Game.
Hear, hear.
Exactly.
That's well said, Vern.
Well, being expecting you to say that at the committee hearing on a budget proposal, that's exactly true.
I'm just giving you an argument.
No.
Oh, no.
We know how we're constitutionally mandated.
Be careful what you say.
Thank you very much, Vern.
We'll just swap them out.
Any other business folks want to bring before? Okay.
Why do we have to?
And then we are going to. You got 12 minutes for command and control.
1:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Just give me a break.
Thanks for now.
Thank you all. Thank you, Brian and staff, commission staff, and public.